This conference will now be recorded.
All right, so a little bit about what to expect. First, I'll kind of do a review of what we call the public-facing website or insight page. It's going to be the place where the public goes to view the published agendas, minutes, recordings of the meetings, etc. And then after that, what I'll do is I'll provide you a quick review of creating an agenda item. And what I want you to do is just kind of watch. I'll go through, the goal of that is just to kind of show you really how quick you can create an agenda item. As I do that, I'll talk a little bit, but we'll circle back and do it again in more detail and a lot slower after that. After the quick review, we're going to have you get into your Legistar, have you get into local settings, and I'll walk you through a few things in there. And then after that, we'll circle back and we'll go through the whole process a little bit slower and a little more in detail. We've got a document that I provided for you. We'll basically be using this as we go through the steps for creating an agenda item. And I've tried to make it pretty straightforward for you, creating red boxes and rectangles and some arrows and some lines going through things to try to just help you focus on the things you kind of need to know to get your agenda item created. There is additional information within the document as well. All right, let's go ahead with the public facing, what we call the insight page. So you have two databases. You have two Legistar databases. You have a training database, which everybody is currently logged into, and then you have a production database. And each one of those comes with its own public facing insight page or website. So for the purpose of training and probably for your testing and things like that, you'll be using the training database, which ultimately pushes the information out here to the training website. So there is a website for your production. So once you go live, that website will be integrated into your current county site. But for those who are interested, these are the direct URLs to both of those. Typically, you don't have to put in an HTTP or a www or anything, but this is the training database website, clark-training.legistar.com. And then your production site, which will be integrated into your county site, will be clark.legistar.com. All right. So let's give you a quick review of the website out here, kind of how it works, what to expect, you know, what the public can access, that kind of thing. So out here, when you first arrive, whether it's production or training, you're going to arrive on the calendar tab. And this is kind of the main screen. Up here, you've got a list of recent upcoming meetings. And then down below is going to be all meetings. And when you first arrive, generally speaking, you're going to have a setting here that says this month. Now, once you or the public starts changing fields and doing things like that, a lot of times the browsers actually remember what your last setting was. So once you come in here and start using it, you know, you're going to wind up seeing some information potentially a little bit different than somebody else. When staff first schedules a meeting, the only thing that's going to show up out here is the name of the meeting body, the date and the time. Everything else will be grayed out, so there won't be any hyperlinks. Then once your agenda staff and minutes staff start going into Legistar and publishing agendas and publishing minutes, as well as after the meetings are finished, the recordings of those meetings, eventually all those links will become available out here. So whether it's agendas, minutes, or the recordings of the meetings, there are specific steps that have to take place in the system in order for these hyperlinks to become active. So they're not just going to show up here. They have to, there are specific steps that have to be done to make them show up out here. A little bit about agendas. So when the agenda staff go in and publish an agenda, it's going to activate the meeting details link, and it'll provide a PDF version of the agenda. The meeting details link is really where all of the content, all of the meat of the agenda and minutes can be found. So eventually, you know, the public will become savvy enough, hopefully, to click on meeting details. And then any of you, of course, can come out here and look at this information as well. But meeting details is what's going to show you everything related to that meeting. You'll have access to the agenda minutes PDFs. You'll be able to see the statuses of the agenda minutes as well. And then down here below, depending on the last setting you had or what you last did in the system, you'll be seeing the content of the agenda down here. When you first come here, typically it's showing only agenda items or files, as well as anything that has had any action taken on during a meeting. Now, if the meeting hasn't taken place yet, then most of what you'll see is just agenda items or files. There is a show option here, not so intuitive, but if you hover over it, you've got some options here. And if we switch it to all agenda items, that basically shows us the entire agenda, including all of the sections and headers like call to order and invocation and things like that. When you or the public's looking at these agendas, there's an export option. So you can export what you're seeing there to Excel, PDF, or Word. And then there's also a group option, which is help, which would allow you to kind of sort what you're looking at there. So when we talk about, you know, coming into meeting details, this is really the meat of the information and the data. As you can see, we can see the whole agenda. And once the minutes are entered into the Legistar system and the minutes are published, then in here we will see actions and results like approved and pass or failed. And then there will be other links like roll call or action details where we can go in and actually take a look at how everybody voted and a little bit of kind of what we call some motion or action text here. And even within this little screen, we still have the ability to do some sorting as well as export the data that we're looking at. The Legistar database, when you create agenda items, it assigns a file ID to that item. And you're gonna see two digits and then a dash and then some other digits. So that the first two digits represent the year. So these were created last year. This year you'll see 20 dash something. And then of course, you know, next year it'll be 21 dash, etc. So these are going to be hyperlinked out here. So you or the public can come out, click on the hyperlink, and it'll bring you to the details of that specific agenda item, giving you information, including the title, which you will be entering into a Microsoft Word template, which we'll be doing here in a little bit. It also provides access to any supporting documents that you load into Legistar associated to this item. There's going to be two tabs when we're looking at the details of an agenda item out here. The first tab is history. And history is just going to show us every time this agenda item makes it to a meeting and staff after the meeting go into Legistar and do minutes, that's going to show up out here as a history line. So in this example, this item showed up on the BCC three times and there was action taken three times. This could also show an item being referred back and forth between different meeting bodies as well, between committees or commissions and then the BCC and back and forth. A lot of good information out here. Another tab next to history is the text tab. And this is an older one here, but this will actually show you or the public the actual Word template and all of the data within. Bad example because this is one of the older ones here, but here in a few minutes you'll see what these Microsoft Word templates look like. A few other things about the site out here. The public has the ability to create an account for themselves out here by clicking sign in up here. And then once they do that, they can sign up for alerts and RSS feeds, and they can also share information that they're finding out here through social media venues. So alerts are pretty common. Sometimes the media uses these. You know, they basically create an account, create some alerts that say, you know, if any agendas are published with these keywords or terms in it, then basically send me an email. So alerts can often be used by the public as well. All right. The other tab is the search agenda items tab. So if I click on that, I'm going to get basically to a search screen. And this is kind of the simple search. We've got a search box where we can put in keywords and terms. And then we have a couple of drop downs here to kind of filter what we're searching for. And we also have some checkboxes here to further search or further narrow down our search. The text checkbox here, that actually refers to the Microsoft Word template that you guys will be filling out. So the text within those templates. We have an attachments box out here as well. So through the website, you can actually search through the content of the documents that you load into Legistar. Okay. Advanced search. If I click on advanced search, this allows me to pick and enter information into specific fields. So these are all the different types of fields, or I should say most of them anyway, that you'll find in the files module. It's the module that you'll go into to create your agenda items. So a lot of those fields are accessible to the public. You may not be putting information into all of the fields, but they are available out here for searching. And the advanced search is really a good way to search, because over a period of time, you're going to have, you know, tens of thousands of agenda items in the Legistar database. And this is a better way to kind of narrow down and search for what you're looking for. When we talk about the insight page or the public facing site out here, something to keep in mind, when you or the public come out here to search, you're only going to be able to search for data that has been published. So data that has been released to the public, data within published agendas and published minutes as an example. When you're working in the Legistar program, of course we've got the published data in there, but we also have data that hasn't been published yet. Agenda items that are in draft status, maybe you're still working on them. Items that have that are just now going through the approval workflow. So those types of items, that data is not available to the public. So the public can only search out here for data that has been a part of a published agenda or published minutes. All right. So that's basically a high level overview of the public facing, what we call the insight page. Any questions?
No, I don't have any at this time.
All right. Okay, so do me a favor and just continue to look up at the screen here. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna do that quick walkthrough of, not approving, a quick walkthrough of creating agenda items. And it's basically going to be following the steps that are in here. So if you want, you can follow along in the document or and or just look up the screen here. All right. So again, this is going to be pretty precise. I won't be doing a whole lot of talking, and then we'll go through it again slower in more detail with you guys actually doing the steps as well. And then at that time, we can do some Q&A and some other things. All right. So I log into Legistar. Go to the files module. And when I first go to the module, I'm in search mode. So I don't want to start filling in fields to create an item. I need to actually come up here and click the new button. I click on new, it's going to pre-populate some fields here. The fields that I'm interested in and will focus on first is the type field. I can click on this and I can select the type of agenda item that I'm creating in the system. I can go to the in control. And for those of you who may be creating agenda items for other meeting bodies other than the BCC, you might have more than one option here. Next, I'm going to go to agenda date. I'm going to click on this little icon here. It's going to bring up a mini calendar, and I'm going to select the agenda date that I want this item to go on. And then from here, I'm going to skip all the rest of the fields, and I'm going to come down and make sure that I'm on the first tab, which is Agenda Report. I'm going to click Edit. So in the document I provided you, there's a big red line that goes through the rest of this. You're not using these, please disregard those. It's always going to be the Edit button. At this point, what's happening on my other monitor, bottom right corner of the screen, there's a light blue rectangle. So it's kind of a status letting me know that it is opening up the Microsoft Word program. So Legistar is integrated with Microsoft Word, and that's actually how we can find those Microsoft Word templates that you will be filling out. Those templates have been created by your core team and your administrators, and they manage those. All right, Word opens up. What I want to do is find the tab that says Add-ins. Then I'm going to go straight to Templates, and I'm going to select the appropriate template. I'm going to select BCC template. I'm always going to click Yes on this confirmation window. And it's going to go ahead and load in the template that I chose. And at this point, you're going to fill in the template. I'm going to skip petitioner here, and I'm going to copy and paste in recommendation. And for the sake of time, I'll just skip everything else here. So once I'm done, what I'm going to do is go up and click on the X and close the Microsoft Word document, and then click Save here to acknowledge the save. At this point on my other screen, bottom right corner is again a light blue rectangle that you'll see, and then again that's just kind of a status. So now Microsoft Word is uploading the data into the Legistar database, and once that's done, I will see it here in the window down below, and I will also see my recommendation pre-populate up here. Next, go to my Attachments tab. If I have supporting documentation, I will come down and click the Attach button. Then I will just navigate to wherever my supporting documents are, and I can select multiple using Shift and Control. Load those in the system. I can select these and change the name. Go to the name field, clean these up a little bit, come down and select Update Attachment Detail. Real quick, update attachment detail. I want my resolution to be before my contract, so I'm going to select it, hit the up arrow button. Now I'm happy. Details tab, not much to do here unless I'm going to put in an internal note. We'll discuss that a little bit later. Next, I'm going to go to approval tracking. At this point, I'm going to go down to add sequence, and I'm going to go ahead and load in the appropriate sequence. And I'm going to click Start. So that in a nutshell is the process that we're about to go through and learn. We'll talk about it in more detail and go through it a little bit slower and things like that, but that is the overall process. So once you get the hang of it, it can be pretty quick. All right. Now, let's go ahead and let's get you guys working with the Legistar program. So just to confirm, everybody's logged in, everybody on the home screen?
Yes.
Beautiful. All right, first thing we're gonna do is go to our local settings, and this is important. So from the home screen, we're gonna go up to Tools. We're gonna click on that, and we're gonna select Local Settings. There's a lot of stuff in here. We're only going to focus on a few things. Personal Settings tab, which is where we're at by default, we're going to go down and we're going to click on Legislative Files. This is really where you are going to be doing all your work. What we're going to do now is we're going to go straight to the department, the default department field. For all of you, most of you, it probably says none. So what we want you to do is click on the dropdown and select your department. This is very important. This setting, this field, is going to help the system, help Legistar automatically pull in your agenda items and place them where they're supposed to be on the agenda. So we do not want to skip putting in our default department in local settings. All right. Default controlling body, we're going to leave that at the Clark County Board of Commissioners here. File status, we're going to skip. We're going to go down to default file type. It probably says consent for most everyone. Go ahead and click on that drop down and take a quick look at the list. So in the system, you can create all of these different types of agenda items. Some of you may not even create most of these, some of you may only create a few, etc. But what we're doing here is we're going to select the one that we would create most often. We can change this on the fly every time we're creating an agenda item. So what we're doing here kind of in local settings is just kind of setting a default. If there isn't one that you create most often, if you're just kind of all over the board, then it really doesn't matter which one you have set here. You'll be changing it frequently when you're going through the agenda item creation process. All right. Sponsors, you guys aren't using sponsors, so we're just leaving that to none. So really here, it's legislative files header, default department, very important. And file type as a default. Okay, let's click save at the top left. All right, password tab, next to personal settings tab. This is where you can change the default password you just used to get into Legistar. So let's take a minute or so here and have everyone set a new password for yourself. Legistar, just make sure it's at least 5 characters. That's really all it requires, and doesn't need to be upper or lower mixture or special characters if you don't want it to be. So go ahead and take a moment, put in a new password. Please write it down if you think you're going to forget it, and click the save button at the top left when you're done. And I'll just kind of hold here a moment, and Darlene can let me know when everybody's done.
Reminder, your old password is password. You'll need to push save just as a reminder to make it save. I think we can move on.
Okay, good to go. All right. Just a quick comment about out of office. This doesn't apply to coordinators or anybody who's creating agenda items. This is actually for the approvers, but it is good for you to know that they can come into their local settings and set themselves out of office by clicking the yes circle, and then they can actually select a person that can approve while they're out. And then they will come back in, change it back to no, and click save when they're back in the office here. So something that is available to them. Doesn't apply to creating agenda items though. All right, before we get out of personal settings, actually one more thing here. Click on the personal settings tab. I forgot to mention this. And if you go down to the very bottom where it says color settings, if you care, there are certain color settings you can change. There's certain text and some fields that you can change the colors for. All right, other than that, just go ahead and disregard everything else that's in here. Just doesn't apply. All right, everybody good?
Yep.
Okay, let's click on the home button. Let's get back to the home screen. A few comments about the home screen. This is really a dashboard. It's specific to you, the person that's logged in. And depending on what you're doing in Legistar, like recent files as an example, things that you've, files, agenda items you've recently created, edited, even just looked at and searched for, they're going to start showing up here. The most recent ones at the top, older ones at the bottom, and the older ones will start dropping off as more newer ones come in up at the top there. So it's really just a quick way for you to see what you've recently been looking at or working on, and then you can click on the text if you need to get back into it to work on it. Same with recent agendas and recent minutes, depending on your permissions in the system. You may or may not be working on or even accessing agendas and minutes, but if you do, it's the same concept. They'll start showing up there as you're working on them or touching them or looking at them, etc. So regarding permissions, each of you are assigned to a user group within the Legistar system, and those user groups have specific permissions. So not everybody necessarily has the same permissions in the system. Okay. Bottom right corner, approval request, just so you know, that's for your approvers. When they have something currently assigned to them, all they have to do is go to the home screen, look down in the right corner, and they can see all the items that they need to go in and review and approve. Pretty handy. That way they don't have to go searching. All right, so that's really it for the home screen here. Let's go ahead and have everybody click on the files module here. There are four modules in the system. Files, which is where you're primarily going to be doing all your work. There is an agendas module and a minutes module, and there's also a search module. So most of you probably won't be going into agendas and minutes. As far as the search module goes, that module is a little limited in searching in that it kind of primarily just searches through legislation text, which is the data that's within the Word templates that we're about to take a look at. So the searching in here is somewhat restricted, I would say. When you go into the files module, like we are now, again, I just want to point out up here at the top, it says search mode. We can actually start filling in fields or combinations of fields to specify search criteria. I can even go to tabs like the attachments tab. If I'm searching for an attachment I loaded with a specific name, I can type that in as well. So I can combine all these fields together. We'll talk more about attachments in a little bit. Details tab, I can search here as well. So the takeaway is search mode, any field, any combination of fields to specify search criteria. Okay, so if any of you were kind of clicking and following along, do me a favor. Please click on the agenda report tab, make sure that's active. And if you filled in any fields, do me a favor and go up and click the clear button at the top. So this will just clear out all the fields that you may have put some data in. All right, let's jump to our document here. So remember, you've got this document. It's a great reference. We're going to go ahead and start going through the process. Screenshots are nice. Again, I've kind of highlighted things for you to pay particular attention to. All right, so step one, we're in the files module. What we're going to do is go up and click the new button. So let's have everybody click new. And as I mentioned, as I was going through the quick review, we're going to have some fields pre-populate up here at the top. The system will automatically assign the file ID. We don't need to worry about that. The status of the item, we can't change that, and we don't need to, because the system will change it as this agenda item goes through its life cycle. So it starts out as draft. Once we start an approval workflow, it'll change from draft to approval review. Once the approval workflow has completed, the status will change yet again to agenda ready. And then once the minutes are done in the system, the status could yet then again change from agenda ready to something different. So this will always kind of be changing. File created, we want to skip that. We want it to be today's date. Agenda date, let's go ahead and click on the little mini calendar. Let's bring up that little mini calendar here, and you're going to see green boxes. The dark green boxes are BCC meetings. The light green boxes are any other meeting body using the system other than BCC. And what we do is we just find the agenda date that this item belongs to. And what I'd like you to do is hit the arrow here so that we can go from July to August. And for the purposes of training, if everybody could select August 27th. That's correct, right, Darlene?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to select August 1st just for me, but everybody else, please select the 27th. Okay, I've noted this in the user guide and I mentioned it. I want to mention it again. The title field here, we don't type directly into this box. We want to populate this box through the Microsoft Word template, which we will get to here in a few minutes. The data within this title box needs to be entered in the Word template. And that's important because the actual agenda itself, as well as other reports in the system, pull from that Microsoft Word template. So please don't type directly in this field here. And we disregard final action. So really it's just type in control if applicable and the agenda date. Then we just come down and work our way across the tabs. All right, everybody click here to make sure they got agenda report active. And in my document, just to point out, I've got a red line through everything except the edit button. So that's all you have to worry about. So we're gonna go ahead and click edit. And I know some of you on some of those computers, the Microsoft Word integration isn't working. So if that's the case, perfectly fine. Go ahead and just skip the steps that I'm about to cover and just kind of look up at the screen here. So for those of you that it's working on, what you'll see is that light blue rectangle in the bottom right corner of your screen. And it's again, kind of a status letting you know that the system is communicating with Microsoft Word. Okay. So for those of you where it's working, I just wanna make sure, is everybody kind of where I'm at as far as having the Microsoft Word document open?
Everyone has it up.
Okay, beautiful. So the next thing, and I do have this with a red box on the user guide, the next thing we want to do is click on the add-ins button or tab at kind of the top center right. So if you don't see the add-ins tab, then you either didn't open up the Word document the correct way or that integration isn't working properly. Click on add-ins. We're going to go straight to templates. And we're going to select the appropriate template. I think for most everybody in the room, feel free to select BCC template. When you select a template, you're going to get a pop-up box. This will replace. Always go ahead and click yes. I know there were a few computers where clicking yes didn't actually produce the template. If that's you, just go ahead and kind of watch as we go through the rest of the steps here. Okay. So a couple words about your templates. Your core team, your Legistar administrators, you guys own these templates. You're still going through the deployment process. You haven't gone live yet with Legistar. So there's some templates that are still in progress. There might even be some tweaks to this one. So the list of templates that you see could change between now and your go live. And even after go live, they could change as well. So you can have as many templates as you need. All right. If anybody brought an agenda item or two to today's session, maybe one that's upcoming or one on a past agenda, go ahead and take some of that information and fill in a petitioner, put in a recommendation at a minimum. For those of you that didn't bring anything, I'm sure you can probably remember a most recent one. go ahead and fill some of that information in. So we'll take about a minute or two here to give you a little bit of time to fill in some of this template here. And again, at a minimum, just put in a petitioner and at least a recommendation.
If you don't have any information, you just attest.
And as far as filling these templates out, just make sure that you go directly to the fields that say click here to enter data. And please don't try to manipulate or do anything to the rest of the template. Try to stick with just the fields that you need to type information in. When you finish putting in information, just kind of hang tight. Don't close the document yet. I want to make sure we walk through the process of how to properly close it.
You can start every field leader as long as you have the title in the background. It's pretty good.
Was that a? I didn't hear all the question.
Oh, I just said they didn't have to fill out the whole form. As long as they have the background and the recommendation, they're.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Let me know, Darlene, let me know when you guys are ready.
All right. Looks like we can move on. I think everybody's got a little bit written in there. I think we're good, Doug.
Okay, awesome. All right, in the user guide, I do kind of point out a little bit about closing it. At this point, there's really the two best ways to close it. The first is you can just go up to the Microsoft Word document and click the X to close out of the Word document. And at that point, you could click Save here to confirm your save. The other thing you could do is click on the save icon, the old school icon at the top left. So if you click that first, then you can go ahead and come up here to the top right and just close the Word document. Now you should see that light blue rectangle again at the bottom right corner of your screen. So it does take a couple of moments or a little bit more for the Word document information to actually load into the Legistar database. Once that's completed, then you'll see the title box populate with the information that you had put in the recommendation. And that is exactly what we want to happen. And then down here in this window, you will see the entire template or the form as well. So just a quick check-in. Was everybody successful in closing it? And can you see the information in the window?
Yes.
Okay. All right, a couple comments about the window here. This, we can't make edits directly in the window, it's view only. And keep in mind that the way we see the information in here is not necessarily going to be how it looks on the actual reports. So as an example, the petitioner's field, when you put a name in there, the name looks like it's outside the box. That's actually not the case. When you run the reports, it looks perfectly fine. So sometimes this view only window isn't really the best as far as formatting goes. And again, we don't want to type directly in or edit directly in this title box. So if the recommendation needs to be changed or updated, or if anything else in the template needs updated, we click the edit button to reopen the Microsoft Word document. So we're always going to use that edit button when we first create the template, as well as if we ever need to make edits to the template. So what I'm going to do, and you guys don't have to do this, but I clicked on edit again to bring up the template because I wanted to show you something that you might encounter. If I come in here and update the recommendation specifically, which would be information that would be in the title field here. So if I update this, let's say I put in a, you know, put in a period, whatever it is, you can also update other information in here as well. But specifically updating your recommendation, when we save out of here, you're going to receive a pop-up message. Of course, at the moment, I've, you know, got the light blue rectangle. As soon as that goes away, I will get my pop-up message. And the pop-up message basically says, do you want to replace the title? So it's saying, do you want to replace what's currently in the title box? That's an important pop-up because I mentioned before, whatever is in the title box, basically whatever your recommendation text is, that's important. It's on the published agenda. It's pulled in and put on a number of different reports. So the pop-up is really just bringing it to your attention, just making sure that you want to make changes to that recommendation or to that title text. All right, so I clicked yes, confirmed it. Now we can see my periods up here. Okay. All right, so the agenda report, those Word templates, that's going to be a very important piece of your agenda item. So I'll just take a quick moment. Does anybody have any questions about anything I've covered so far, specifically the agenda report or the Word templates?
Yeah, we have a question.
If I were making an edit to like the fiscal impact, let's say, would you still click yes for saving the title?
That's a good question. If you're just changing the fiscal impact, you shouldn't receive the pop-up. The pop-ups should only occur typically if you're changing the recommendation text.
Are you trying to change it in that agenda report area or in the after you click edit?
So if you want to change the fiscal impact, you'll still need to go to edit to do that.
But you
correct.
But you will get the pop-up that says, do you want to save the title? But no matter what, you would still want to go into the edit.
Yes, correct.
Any other questions? Good.
Okay. Easy enough. All right. Just pull this up here. So now we're going to kind of work our way down here to step three. We're going to talk about attachments. A couple of different ways to add attachments to your agenda item. The first is you can come down here to the bottom left and click the button that says attach. And when you do that, you're going to see this window, which I'm sure you've all seen before. You can navigate to wherever your attachments are at. You can even use, you know, shift and control keys to bring in multiple documents at the same time. So you guys have a document that you can load in for practice, and I'll let Darlene explain where it's at.
If you go to the computer, go to My Documents and Templates. There's the BCC calendar. That is a PDF you can attach. Just one thing to note, all attachments should be in PDF form. When you go to attach something, we are requesting that it be in PDF form. That will make it easier for the packet to load for the agenda that administration is running in.
Also means no one can change it later.
Right. It also means that it's not editable by everyone. So.
And you said it was under documents on
PC? And under the templates.
Also, if you have any fillable PDF forms, try to print them out as regular PDFs, or if it has the option to save it as a flat PDF so that it doesn't by chance get through the process and be available to the public as a fillable form. So.
Okay.
It's good, but yeah.
Looks like everybody has an attachment now.
Okay. Awesome. Do me a favor and go ahead and load the same attachment again. So I want you to have two attachments in your attachments grid here. So go ahead and load that same one more time. All right, everybody good?
I believe everybody's good.
Yeah, don't have any questions? Yeah, we're good.
Okay, good. Another way you can load in documents, just to point out, is instead of clicking Attach in Legistar, you can just open up this window outside of Legistar, which I know you all know how to do, and you can just navigate to wherever your documents are at, and you can just simply drag and drop it into the grid as well here. So a couple different ways to get your documents in here. Now that we've got our documents in here, let's talk about what we can do with them. So first will be the name of the documents. So they're going to be saved into the system here based on how they were named on your network or computer, whatever it is. So if we want to change the name of the attachments, we select it in the grid, and let's go ahead and select one of your attachments, and then come over here to the name field and modify the name. So go ahead and do that. Once you modify the name in the name field, then you'll come down and click Update Attachment Details. Once you do that, you should see the name change in the grid. Practice it one more time here. Update Attachment Details. All right, so something else we can do is we can replace the documents. So we loaded in, you know, I loaded in a contract or resolution, whatever it is, ordinance. If the contract or ordinance or resolution needs to have changes made to it, there's two ways you can do that. We can open it up directly in Legistar, make changes to it, and save it directly back into Legistar. The other option, which I believe is what you're probably gonna do most often, if not all the time, is go out to your network or your computer, wherever the original document was, make changes to that original document, and then load in the updated document. And the quickest way to do that is to select the document you've uploaded in the grid. So if I updated this contract outside of Legistar, I would select contract in the grid. I would come down to the bottom left here and you'll see a button that says replace. If I click on replace, it opens up the same window. And then all I would do is just navigate out to wherever that updated contract is, select it, and click open. The nice thing about doing this process is it uploads the updated version, but it doesn't change the name. So the name that I had initially changed it to stays the same. It does move it to the bottom, however, so if I needed to move it back up, I would have to use the arrow to go ahead and move it back up to where I want it. Now, just to show you, if you're going to update it directly in Legistar and save it directly back into Legistar, then you would select the attachment and click launch, or just double click it in the grid, and that will actually open up the document that's in Legistar. Now, since you guys will primarily be loading in PDFs, you're going to need Adobe Acrobat Standard or Pro to even make changes to the document. Now, let me just show you how that works. So I do have Adobe Acrobat Standard, so I could enable editing. And I could come in here and I could modify the PDF. And then once I'm happy with it, I could just X out and click yes to save my changes. And when I do that, the system is going to ask me via this pop-up box, do I want to save it back into Legistar? So if I say yes, then it's basically like a replace. It takes what I just updated and saves it into the system. The problem with that, though, is that that does not update or change the original document that was out on your network or your computer. So Darlene and Mike and Michael can confirm, but I believe you guys will probably be just making updates to the original document that's outside of Legistar, and then using replace and getting that back in here.
That is definitely our recommendation, just because you'll probably want to have the most recent edited version on your PC, in your H drive or your P drive. So it's recommended to do the original document and then replace it.
Good idea. All right. As far as deleting goes, I can select a document and I can come down here and I can click the remove button. That is delete. When I click on remove, I'll get a confirmation. Click yes, and it deletes it from Legistar. So this does not delete it from your network drives or your computer. It's simply deleting it from the Legistar database. There is a drop-down arrow next to remove. If I select remove all, it will remove, basically delete all attachments in the grid. All right, keeping things precise, just a few other comments here. In the document, I do have a few things circled here, and I've got some additional information up here. So you can load in Microsoft Office documents like Word, Excel, PowerPoint. You know, you can do text files, you can do images and things like that. But again, I think the recommendation is PDFs. And we recommend keeping the file size to around 100, maybe 150 megabytes. Trying to load files in that are too large can cause problems when the agenda staff are trying to generate an agenda packet. And sometimes if it's a larger file, it won't even finish loading. It'll time out before it ever loads into the system. So if you've got, I don't know, if there's like a huge GIS map or something that's a half a gig or a gig in size, it'll probably time out anyway, but that would definitely break the agenda packet creation process. And in those circumstances, we recommend compressing it or breaking it or dividing it into multiple documents. Any questions about attachments, supporting documents?
Questions? Nope, not at the time.
Okay. All right, step four, we're going to talk about the details tab. A relatively short conversation. So the details tab, the first thing I want to point out is the department drop-down field here. And if you click on it, you guys have been restricted from modifying that field. This field is going to populate based on the local settings. So remember earlier we went to home, tools, local settings, and that very important field was putting in your department. That pulls into here, and that's what's ultimately telling the system or helping tell the system where this agenda item belongs on the agenda, along with a few other criteria. So we don't want this to be blank, and we don't want it to be a different department than what it should be. So again, very important to do the local settings and put in your department. Enter by will be grayed out. That'll be your email. Your Legistar administrators manage that. There's a few other fields here. Agenda number, the system will populate later. Bill number, effective date, may be filled in by other staff at a different time. And then there's an internal notes field here. So the internal notes field, not seen by the public, not on any reports or agendas. This is not the field that your approvers type their notes in. I will show you in a little bit where they put in their notes. But this could be a notes field that you utilize. And probably an internal discussion at some point as far as, you know, if you guys are going to use that field, you know, what you would use it for, what kind of information would you put in there. One of the challenges about this field is that there are no notifications that go out if you put anything in there. Staff would have to continue to come in here and look in this field to see if anything's even there, or you would have to send some kind of communication stating you put internal notes in there. So things to think about.
Ideally, if you need someone to do something or know something about the item, let's say the agenda admin or someone in the workflow, please reach out to them, email, phone call.
Okay. There is a last edit button here. If you want, you can click on it. There's nothing that you guys will be doing in here. It's really just an audit log. It kind of documents who comes into the file, and if anybody modifies it or makes any changes, it kind of documents what's been changed. Okay, if you are in the screen like I am, to get out of it, we need to go up to the top right and click on the close button. So there are a few screens in Legistar like this one where we have to click on a close button to get out of it. Okay, relatively quick discussion, but any questions on the details tab? Okay. Step 5 is the approval tracking tab. So that is going to be this tab here. And I just want to take a moment before we go into detail about this tab. I just want to make a quick comment on the minutes history tab. So this is not in your guide. This is not something that if you're creating an agenda item or even approving items, you don't go to this tab. There's nothing you guys can actually edit or do in this tab, but it does record the minutes history. So everything is recorded in the file, including the minutes. So when the minutes staff come into Legistar and enter minutes for this item, it will eventually be available in here, and there will be lines here based on you know, how many different meetings it's been on, how many different times minutes have been done on this agenda item. They'll all be listed here. So really just for your reference. All right. Everybody seems awfully quiet. Everybody doing okay? Any questions so far?
No questions.
All righty. Okay, so step 5, approval tracking tab. Let's talk about quite a bit to talk about here. So, you know, at any point in time, you can click on new, fill in information, you know, work on this over a period of time. Maybe you're waiting for some supporting documents or something like that. And eventually you're going to get to the point where you want to send it through the approval workflow. We go to the approval tracking tab and we come down here. We click on the add sequence button. So remember, right now, you guys haven't gone live yet. You know, your core team, your Legistar administrators are still working on some things. A lot of the approval sequences need to be updated. I think these were initially created last year. So just keep that in mind as we're looking at data here going through training. The list that you see, the approval sequences that you have that are available to you are primarily going to be based on your department and things like that. So not everybody's going to see the same approval workflow sequences. You should probably only be seeing one or two or rarely maybe even a handful of them. So hopefully everybody sees at least two. One will say use for training, and then the other one is probably related to your department. So if everybody would select the one that's related to your department. And again, keep in mind, some of these names may need to be updated, but this will allow me to kind of explain to you what we're, you know, what we see on the screen here and kind of how this works. All right. Everybody successful in loading in a department sequence?
Making sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like everybody's got a sequence up.
All right, great. We did not start the sequence yet, so all we've done is just load it so far. We're not going to start it until we're ready, and please don't click start yet. Let's kind of talk about the information we see that so that you guys better understand kind of how this works. So these sequences are sequential, so we're going to see a list of names, and in my example, I have Marianne first, you know, followed by Jeff and Pamela, etc. So when I start this, it's going to start with Marianne, and it's going to sit there until Marianne does her approval or delegates it to somebody else, or maybe even if the system goes into escalation, which I'll talk about here in a couple of moments. There is a grid, and depending on how big your screen and monitor is, you may not see all of the columns in the grid. So there is a scroll bar here. We can scroll to the right and see additional columns. So as this approval workflow continues, as people do their actions like approving or delegating, all of that gets documented in here. If they took, it'll timestamp when they did those actions. And if the system by chance goes into escalation, which we'll talk about, it timestamps that as well. Scrolling back over to the left, action type field. We see approver and we see FYI. So approver means that that person needs to come in the system and actually perform a task, approve it, delegate it to somebody else, etc. If we see the action type of FYI, then that person is not going to need to come in and perform an action. They won't even be able to. They'll just be receiving an informational email. So again, being sequential, when Mary comes in and approves it, it'll move to Jeff. And since Jeff is an FYI, that FYI email gets sent in immediately, and then it just moves on to the next person, which would be Pam. For your action types of approver, you're going to have, or that person's going to have, a certain amount of business days to complete their approval, and that's what the due days are. So these represent business days. So Marianne and everybody else who's an approver has 2 business days to go in and complete their task. If they don't complete the task and the 2 business days pass, then that's when the system goes into escalation. So it's important for you guys to kind of understand what that escalation process does. All right, 2 business days pass, Marianne doesn't do anything, system escalates. It actually goes into Legistar administration in the back end, and it looks inside Marianne's people record. And in there, there's a field where your Legistar administrators can go in and populate what would be Marianne's backup, an alternate approver for Marianne. She can only have 1, and it's kind of like a permanent backup, if you will. So when the system escalates, it looks to see if Marianne has a backup. If she does, then the system will actually reassign it to her backup. It'll document it in the grid here, but at that point, Maryam will no longer be able to come in here and make any edits or do any type of approvals. It'll be reassigned to her backup. Now, if Maryam does not have an alternate approver or a backup, then the escalation process doesn't do anything. It still looks at Marianne's people record and looks for a backup. And if there isn't one, then the system doesn't do anything because it doesn't have anybody to reassign it to. So at that point, Maryam just receives an email every day letting her know or reminding her that she has an item to review and approve. So that is the escalation process as it relates to the due days. There is another escalation process, and this is a process that you, as the coordinator, as the person who creates the item, the originator, you can actually initiate it before the business days expire.
Doug, are you talking? Because we can't hear you.
There we go. How about that?
Much better. So I think the last thing you were talking about was being able to escalate their own.
Gotcha.
Someone's out of the office.
Sorry about that. That was a go-to meeting glitch there. Okay. So if I start the approval process, once I do that, then this escalate button will become active for me. So for those of you who create the item, the originator, the coordinator, etc., once you start it, you will be able to click escalate. Now clicking escalate behaves in a similar way as if the due days pass, but it's your opportunity to escalate it sooner than the due days expiring. And sometimes that's necessary. You know, if suddenly Maryam, you know, maybe unfortunately she gets sick or something, she isn't going to be coming into the office, she's not going to be able to be reviewing and approving things for some reason, then you don't have to wait, or the system doesn't have to wait the full 2 business days or 1 day or however many days are remaining. You could come in here and click the escalate button and basically expedite that process. Once you click escalate, it pretty much behaves the same way. It looks in Maryam's people record to see if she has a backup. And if she does, it will reassign it to her backup. If she doesn't have a backup, then same as before, the system doesn't do anything. It doesn't have anybody to reassign it to. All right. So you'll notice there are other buttons down here like delete and new and cancel, things like that. So kind of getting back to user permissions, you know, permissions that user groups have, things like that. Most users have been restricted from using those buttons. So escalate will be one, however, that you will be able to use. Okay. Any questions so far?
Nope.
All right. All right, what we'll do now is kind of go through kind of replacing this sequence. So if when you go live, you have more than one sequence to choose from, you know, sometimes you click on and select the wrong one. So what I'd like you to do is go back down to your add sequence dropdown and select use for training if you didn't do that already. So if you load a sequence and you want to go ahead and replace it with a different one, you can go down and select it. And when you do that, you're going to get a pop-up message basically asking you, do you want to append or replace? So append means that you're going to take the approval sequence you just selected and add it to the existing one, which is probably something we don't want to do. We want to replace it. So we click replace. And it'll go ahead and wipe out the one that I had added, and it'll go ahead and replace it with the one I selected. Was everybody successful in replacing and getting the training one loaded?
Give us just 1 second. We have two people who have their already started. We're going to stop it.
Okay.
Do you think most of the users are sent to someone? No. No, so shouldn't get it down anyway. But.
Okay, everybody's in the training one now.
All right, good to go. All right. So what I'd like everybody to do now is go down and click the start button. And once we do that, we're going to get a confirmation pop-up. And that's a good thing, because once we click start and start the approval workflow, then the first person in the sequence gets an email letting them know they have an item to review and approve. The status will change from draft to approval review, and things will be set in motion. So let's go ahead and click yes. And clicking yes sometimes takes a couple seconds before everything updates. Now we should see the status change to approval review. And then if we take a look in the grid here, if we were to kind of look over to the right, the status would now have review requested in it, and now there would actually be a due date in the column there. The text would be bolded as well. And if you actually clicked on somebody else in the list, in addition to being bold, it would be green or a different color depending on if you changed any of your color settings. All right. One thing to point out, I clicked on Granicus Administrator, and it's not currently assigned to Granicus Administrator. So when I click there, notice that the Escalate button is grayed out. If I go back up and click on Granicus Approver, which is the current approver, I would then have the Escalate button. All right. Few other things to talk about when it comes to the approval process. Over on the right, there's actually three tabs down here on the bottom right. So in approval tracking, there's three, I guess you would call them sub-tabs. The first tab is manage approver, and that's where we were at by default, and it really just shows us the same information we're kind of looking at here in the grid. The second tab, Approver Action. Go ahead and click there. That is where your approvers are going to go in order to do their approval or delegation, et cetera. And that's also where they have access to the notes field. So this is where they would be typing in the notes. So let's talk a little bit about the different actions that they can take and the notes field. So in general, the system has a variety of different emails that it will send out to you and or the approvers. And most of those are sent based on some type of trigger in the system. As far as, you know, as far as the person who's creating the agenda item, let's talk about the actions and whether or not they send some, whether they trigger some emails. So down here, there's four actions that can potentially be taken by your approvers. And depending on their permissions, they may or may not be able to take all four actions. I say that just because extend due date is an action that has been restricted for all of your approvers. So that will be grayed out for all your approvers. They will not be able to extend their own due date, which is probably a good thing. So we can disregard extend due date, not something you're using. Approve, let's talk about approve for a moment. So approve is pretty straightforward. The approver looks at the information, agrees with it for the most part, clicks approve. They do have the ability to put in a note before they click approve. So they could put a note, you know, looks good, or as an example, let's say they called you or emailed you and said, hey, go in and, you know, just change something on the agenda report, or, you know, make a change to one of the documents or something like that. So they call you, they email you to make some kind of change. You make the change, you email them back or call them back and say, change has been made. They look at it, they say, okay, looks good. They come here to the approver tracking tab, and they come up here to the note field and they type in, so it's documented, you know, in the system, what they asked you to change and that you changed it. When they click approve, the note will be saved in the system, but you do not get an email. So important takeaway is approving is not something that triggers an email notification to you or anyone else. All right, delegating. If the approver comes in and delegates their approval to somebody else, we train them to put in some notes so that it's documented and so that everybody knows why they're delegating it to somebody else. And sometimes your approvers will delegate to somebody else just so that they can look at the information, put in a note, and actually delegate it back to them. So delegation is a way that they can kind of have people look at it, provide feedback on it, but they're actually not coming in and clicking the approve button. When you delegate to somebody else, you no longer have editing capabilities, you can no longer approve. Another example though, is they might actually delegate it to somebody else to do the actual approval. So either way, we train them to put in detailed notes when they're delegating. So you as the person who created the item, you will get an email notification if they delegate to someone, and that email will contain the notes. So that is one action that triggers an email, and the email contains the note. Disapprove is also an action in the system that will trigger an email, and in the email will be the note. Disapproving not only sends you an email, the person who created it, but also everybody else who's been involved up to that point. So whether they're an FYI or whether they're an approver, if they've already been a part of the process, they will be notified via email as well. And in the email, they will also be able to see the notes. A little bit more about disapproving. If an approver disapproves, it actually cancels the approval workflow altogether, sets the status eventually back to draft, and it's more or less like starting over. So if two or three people have already approved it and it gets to a fourth person and they disapprove it, then it's going to basically falls back into your lap. You're going to need to make the required changes, whatever those are, and then you're going to have to come to the approval tracking tab, load in the sequence all over again, and start it all over again. And it's going to have to go through everybody again. So because of that potential delay and that extended process, and Michael and Darlene can confirm, but we're training the approvers to really not use disapprove.
What we're telling the approvers to do is to just contact you if there's something that needs to be changed, just so that we don't have to start the whole sequence over again. It makes more work for you. It makes more work for everybody along the line. So the recommendation that we're giving you training to the approvers is to just reach out to the coordinator to have whatever changes made.
All right. Other than that, you will receive other emails as things go through the system. If the system goes into escalation, you know, if the 2 business days pass and it escalates, you as the creator of the item, the coordinator, the originator, you will get an email. There are no notes in it or anything. It's just a system-generated email. So there are a few system-generated emails that you'll receive depending on what happens, like escalation as an example.
So with that, with the not wanting them to disapprove and being able to escalate and stuff, so you guys all know about the new cutoff time to get items into the agenda site. That's going to be the same in this system, but we're going to have between 10 and noon for you guys to be able to get it through workflow, through the sequence here. So if you get something in, you'll be able to work on it, get the sequence started, and get it through workflow, assuming people are in to get it actually through workflow. If for some reason you can't get it through workflow, and it's on the agenda and it's the best you can get it in, and everyone's been okay with it so far, it will still go on the agenda like it does now. If you need to create a placeholder item, to hold those items there, or to potentially add something in, because once the cutoff happens, you can't add new items, but you can work on it. So if you create a placeholder item and you end up not needing it, just say, go ahead and delete this, or get a hold of the admin or me and delete that item. But if you get something in there, you can work on it, get the information in. So if you know you have 5 items you need to get in, create 5 agenda items, just say, okay, this is for me to put in these 5 items. And you'll see those on your home, the home box listed there. You can go into them and work on them, get them in and try to get them in the system and as complete as you can. Not the end of the world if you don't get the sequence done, but we do want to get the sequences to the end state. That's basically back to you to get to some. I remember if you've run the report yet or not.
No. At the end.
Okay, so there's some other steps that you guys will have to do at the end of the workflows to make sure everything's finalized. If you're in that state where you're not going to get it done, it's not going to be able to get through the sequence because you're in that cutoff period on the cutoff day between 10 and noon, then you can go ahead and do what he's gonna eventually go over here. Does that make sense?
All right, Doug, I think okay. We can move on.
Okay, sounds good. All right, the thing that Michael was just referencing is what I'm gonna show you next. So I believe most all the coordinators are going to be at the end of the approval sequences. And we're going to show you how to run a staff report, which is basically an agenda item report, and have it automatically load in and become an attachment in your agenda item. Now, you don't have to wait until it reaches you in the approval workflow. You could even run this report before the workflow even starts, but based on your process, you're probably not going to want to run this report and attach it to this until the very end. So if everybody would go ahead and go up to reports and select staff report. This is basically the agenda item report. From here, what we're going to do is come up to destination, and we're going to change it from a Word document to the Acrobat format PDF. So just like all the rest of your attachments, we want to be loading this attachment in as a PDF. The other thing we need to do is check this box, add report as attachment. So we go ahead and check that. So with these two completed, then we go up and we click run. So go ahead and click run. And this may take a couple of moments. So basically what the system is doing is it's taking basically the Microsoft Word template you filled in, all that data, recommendation, all that kind of stuff, taking all of that information, creating a PDF of it, and then it's actually attaching it to your to the agenda item for you automatically. We should get a pop-up that says one report added as attachment. Go ahead and click OK. So just a quick check-in with everybody. Was everybody able to successfully run this report and get that pop-up box?
I did, yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. So these report screens, this is a screen where we need to go up to the top right and click the close button. As I mentioned before, there are a few screens where we have to click close to get out of it, and reports are one of them. So let's click close. And once we do that, let's go ahead and go to the attachments tab and click on that. And we will now see at the bottom of the list the staff report that we just ran and created, and the system automatically attached for us. I believe you guys want the staff reports to be the first document in the list. So we can select it and use the arrows to move it up to the top.
To elaborate on that, we need the staff report to be in the number one position so that when the agenda packet is run, the staff report is the first thing you see before the attachment.
All right. So Michael mentioned this earlier, and I guess a good opportunity to talk about this real quick. If you come here and you don't see it, you could just go back to reports and go back to the staff report. Chances are you forgot to check the box here. So you could go ahead and check it and just run it again to get it attached. So
if you don't, other box there if you want a local copy of the PDF version. And it'll give you the option to save it.
Yes. All right, so that's a pretty important step. Is everybody good with running that report? Any questions about that?
I think everybody's good. Just another thing, if you end up running it twice on accident, you can remove it just like any other attachment. You can do it at any step, but if the approver makes changes to the agenda item or wants you to make changes, you'll have to run it again. So we recommend that you do it there.
So the sequence is ideally going to have someone from your department that enters items be the last person in the sequence. You might end up with a couple of different sequences depending on your department because of that. depends on who's in and who you guys want to go, come on it to go to. But ideally, you'll be the last step in the sequence to make sure everything's been changed, everything's the correct version, and then to run that report, attach it, and then approve that last sequence step, which is yours, at which point the item will be locked and you can't do anything else to it.
We're at the beginning and then at the end.
Well, you won't be approving at the beginning. You'll be creating the item. So at the very end, you'll be doing a final check, run the report if everything's good. Now, let's say you're in that cutoff period. You could run it then that right at the beginning after you get everything in. It's good. Just to save yourself a little bit of time. But yes.
One more question. During the, if the approver raises a question and contacts the system, do they take it back or do I just go into the system and make the edit?
You just go into the system and make the edit.
So they don't release it back?
Correct.
The sequence is very linear. So if the only way to really release it, like we do now, back to you, would be to disapprove it. And at that point, the whole thing has to start over again, which could be an issue if there's a bunch of people trying to review similar items, because you've got finance reviewing various items, various departments, DA, purchasing.
And then after it makes the update, and I would contact the approver and let them know it's been updated, and then they do their process.
Yes. Doug, are the approvers allowed to delegate to the coordinator?
Yeah, they could they can delegate to anybody who's been identified as an approver in the system. So as long as their people record has that approver checkbox checked, the coordinator's names would show up as someone they could delegate to.
So they could also delegate.
You just want to make sure that you don't forget to do the last step if you start doing that. But preferably they do reach out to you and, you know, if they're not comfortable and it seems the item that, hey, we need these, this needs to be changed, or this is the wrong version of a document or something.
Okay, so they can delegate to us, and then once we're done making whatever changes on the original, if that's, is anything you make in Ledger, is going to stay on your, we're going to restate it and replace it if I do it on the original,
if you've got an attachment,
yeah,
and you're modifying that one,
yeah,
and uploading it as a PDF, you could replace it or you could remove it, re-upload it
once it's been delegated back to you.
Even if it hasn't been delegated back to you. So
they could walk by my desk and say, hey, I noticed it.
I could call you up, they could email you, still have access to that.
So once you start the sequence, you still have edit abilities, even though the sequence is still have the ability to go in and make should your approver ask you to.
The only time and it's in the agenda ready state, and the item will actually be long. And hopefully that's at that point it's been through the workflow and everything's good. Worst case is that last few minutes of the time, getting to noon, and the agenda admin's been going through and reviewing and checking stuff, and they've already gone through and closed it. If you are doing some of those last minute items where you've got a bunch of them that came in last minute, we've got people doing this almost every week recently, it seems, with everything going on. Working on something like that, let them know, hey, I've got a few items and I'm trying to complete them. They're such and such file ID. Give them the ID number so they see it. And if it's a blank item, they know, they just haven't filled it in. But again, as long as you create something that you later put something in, and if you don't end up using it, just put a note in, please delete, so that we remove it. To prevent it from showing up on another agenda, basically.
We had one more question.
Yeah. When you delegate it, like if you delegate it back to the coordinator, does it start the 2 days again, or does that?
It's got a 2 day timer on it, so everything will have a 2 day timer.
So if it's not in the approver's box for 2 days and he delegates it back to you, do you get 2 days?
Yeah.
So you have to remember if you want it on the agenda, you're in that time frame. So right. Even though the system gives you 2 days, you might not actually have 2 days to get it done. So you'll have to keep that in the back of your mind that the system is set up to give you 2 days, but that might not be the case depending on when what agenda you want it on.
Yeah, you're in the cutoff period. You don't have 2 days, you need to get it done. And preferably through the sequence by noon. Yeah, if you get something in that you can actually put the stuff on, they can still work on it up to that point. So.
All right, I think we can move on, Doug.
Okay. Well, really, I have one other thing to show you, and that is an option to copy a file. So if everybody's still in their item here, you can go up to Tools, and we're going to pretty much disregard everything in here except for Copy File. So if you copy a file, and you don't have to select Copy File, you can just kind of know it's there. When you copy a file, it actually creates a brand new record in the system, gives it a brand new file ID. But the purpose of copy would be if you have an agenda item where the agenda report and or the attachments are pretty much the same. They don't really need to be changed, or maybe very, very mild changes to the agenda report. So copy file copies the main content of an agenda item, which is the agenda report and the attachments. You would still need to put in an agenda date. You would still need to load and start an approval sequence because it's a new item, but it does copy the agenda report and attachments. So may or may not be useful for you. Other than that, that is creating agenda items. In the guide here that I provided, just one other thing, if you go to the end, there's a step 6, and I've got some additional information in there about searching in the files module to help you out. So we're right at about on time. I wanted to give Darlene about 10-15 minutes to sanitize all the computers, so I think we're right about there.
Does anybody have any additional questions?
At the very end, number 5, we click start. After that, there will be a 6 to make sure you run your staff report at some point prior to it.
Yes. So the question was that in the guide, it doesn't go over when to run the staff report. You all should have received 2 guides. There's one that says draft on it. That was an internal guide that Michael has created. When that one gets updated, we'll be sure and send that out, and that will have all the instructions that are Clark County specific. Please review that right now when you get back to your desk or when you're going through the testing. If there's something that you see that's missing or something you see that is confusing, you can either let me know or let Michael know, and I'll for sure let Michael know if you send it to me, and we'll get that fixed. So we approve any recommendations that you could give us. We would love to have it.
You also might not want to copy a file because you guys won't have permission to change the department. In terms of blank, we'll have to look into that.
It doesn't copy the details. So it won't show up on the agenda. And if you accidentally copy, let's say there's 2 in there and you don't want 1, I would assume it would be even a higher number. Is the one that it copies the changes, then do we just put a note on here, please delete, or how do we get that one removed?
Yeah, you can put a note in it, delete. You can get a hold of me or Cindy if we go on and delete it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Michael. We Yeah, we shouldn't actually use copy file because you're right. They would have to populate the department, which they don't have access to do. Good catch.
Yeah.
Okay, disregard the copy file.
Yeah, we'll put in a request to take a look at it, see if there's anything we can do about that.
But I can copy it.
For anybody who doesn't know Cindy this time,
I don't know by her voice.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
This conference will now be recorded.
Okay. More specifically, the first thing we'll do is I'll give you a review of the public-facing, what we call insight page. So it'll be the website that the public goes to. Of course, once you go live, they'll go to the website to look at the published agendas and published minutes and, you know, watch the recordings of the meetings or listen to the recording of the meetings. And then once I give you the insight review, what I'll do is we'll actually get into your Legistar for a couple of minutes. I'll walk you through a few local settings. And then after we do that, it'll pretty much just be you looking at the screen as I kind of talk through the steps of reviewing and approving. All right. Public facing websites. So you have two Legistar databases. You have a training database, which is what we're using today for training, and it's what you're currently logged in into. And you also have what we call a production database. And the production database will be the one that you use, you know, pretty much when you go live. It'll be the one that the public sees out on the website, and it'll be the one that you're putting in agenda items and approving items through and things like that. Now for approving through the websites, once you go live, you're going to integrate the production view page through into your county clerk, into your Clark County website. Sorry about that. but you can also access them through a direct URL or web address. So if you have pen and paper, feel free to write this down. So the training public-facing insight page is clark-training.legistar.com. I think I've had too much caffeine. And the production public-facing website, the one that'll be integrated into your county site, will be clark.legistar.com. All right. And we'll talk a little bit more about those as we get to the steps of approving through the website. For now, let's start with kind of a review of kind of what the public-facing website looks like and all the different information that can be accessed here. So your production website is going to look the same. And when you and the public first arrive, you're going to be on a calendar tab. And the calendar tab shows you a list of the most recent upcoming scheduled meetings. And then down below, we've got a section that says all meetings. So this will be a list of all scheduled meetings, as well as all meetings that have published agendas and published minutes and things like that. When staff were responsible for scheduling meetings in Legistar, when they schedule those, the only information out here will be the name of the meeting body, the date, and the time. There will not be any active hyperlinks out here. So the hyperlinks, which are meeting details, a PDF agenda, PDF minutes, your final action PDF, as well as video and audio links, those are not going to be active out here until staff responsible for those things does some very specific things in Legistar. Once the agenda team publishes an agenda, that will activate the meeting details link as well as a PDF version of the agenda. So once that takes place, you or the public can come out here and look at the PDF agenda, or more specifically, click on the meeting details link. The meeting details link is really where all the information is at. Within meeting details, you have access to the PDF documents. You can see the statuses of the agendas and minutes. And then down below, we've got some tabs here. And the actual agenda itself. Once the meeting takes place and the staff responsible for minutes goes into Legistar and actually publishes minutes, you will actually, you and the public will be able to see the minutes data as well, such as the roll call, any actions taken, the results of the actions like passed or failed. And then on top of that, you're going to see action detail links. And these is just a way to get drill down a little bit more and see how everybody voted and a little information about some motion text here and some notes if those are entered as well. So a lot of detail out here. You'll also notice out here there are what we call file IDs, and those are going to be hyperlinks that can be clicked on to see the details of this specific item. And the file IDs represent a number that Legistar just automatically generates. And the first two digits are going to represent the year. So in this example here, these were actually created last year, going through some testing and needs analysis and things like that. And then the three digits are just incremental. In this screen, if we hover over group, it's a way to sort the data we're looking at. And we can hover over export, and we can actually export the data we're looking at in Excel, PDF, or Word. Same here, we can hover over export to sort the agenda, export the data we're looking at, and then there's also a show here. So all agenda items will show us the headers, the sections, as well as agenda items, and then legislation only will show us agenda items as well as any sections or headers where action took place during the meeting, like motions and votes and things like that, or roll call. All right, clicking on an agenda item link will bring us into the details of that specific agenda. So we can take a look at, of course, the agenda date, you know, the status, the in control, and then we've got access to the title. The title is going to be the recommendation that staff enters when they're creating an agenda item. Public, and you will have access to any supporting documents that are loaded through the Legistar system as well. In here, there's also two tabs. There's a text tab, and this is just a test and training data. But what we would actually see here is the actual Microsoft Word template, the table, the recommendation, the title, things like that. And we'll see an example of what those look like today once we kind of go through the review and approval process. But the public will be able to actually see that entire, the contents of that document as well. And then out here on the public insight page, it also will display the, what I would say, the minutes history, the history of this item. So in this example, it was on the Board of County Commissioners agenda three times, and they took action all three times. So it'll show that kind of information. It'll show if this item was, you know, referred between meeting bodies. It would show all of that information down here as well. So kind of a complete history of this item. A few other things about the Insight page. The public can actually click on the sign-in link and create an account. And if they do that, then they can sign up for alerts and RSS feeds, and they can share the data through a variety of different social media venues. The alerts are, I guess, more common maybe. They can create an alert to be notified if an agenda has any specific keywords or terms on it. And I've seen the media use this occasionally, primarily anyway. So a lot of stuff that can be done out here. And we accessed all that through the calendar tab and drilling down into the meeting details. The other tab you have available out here is search agenda items. So every single agenda that is published and all of the minutes data that is recorded in Legistar and all the minutes that are published, that is all searchable out here. under this tab, this is what I would consider the simple search. You've got a search box where you can put in key terms and words, and you can use this dropdown to kind of narrow down a time frame. You can use this dropdown to be more specific on what type of agenda item you're searching. And then these boxes also help narrow down the searching as well. Include the file ID, include text. So text is really that legislation text. It's the Microsoft Word template and what's contained within that. And then there's also attachments. So a really nice feature about this public-facing website is it will search through the content of all of the documents, all the supporting documents that staff load into Legistar. It'll search through the documents. That's a great feature because currently the Legistar program itself does not search through the content of attachments. Okay, over here we got an advanced search link. And this really presents a form with a variety of different fields and dropdowns. And these are most all of the fields and dropdowns that are within the files module. And the files module is where you and staff go to create items. It's where you guys go to review and approve items as well. So the public and staff can come out here and be very specific on what you're searching for. A key takeaway when it comes to searching out here on the public-facing website is that you can only search through data that's been published. So if you're in the Legistar program, of course you have access to the published data because it came from there. But the Legistar program also contains data that hasn't been published yet. So staff that are currently working on items, you know, you can search for that in the program, but not out here. Agenda items that are currently going through the approval workflow, you can search for those in the Legistar program, but of course we can't search for those out here. So important takeaway, website is only searching published data. All right, so that's kind of a brief walkthrough of the public facing, what we call insight page. And we're actually going to come back out here a little bit later because as approvers, you can actually sign in and review and approve agenda items through the website. All right. So no excuses, right? You got the Legistar program and you've got the internet all at your disposal. Okay. Any questions before we move on?
No, we're good.
And we're gonna go through a few local settings, and then we'll jump into watching me kind of walk through approving items. So from the home screen, I'd like you to go up to Tools and select Local Settings. These are settings that are going to be specific to you. And there's a lot of stuff in here. We're going to be very specific on what we focus on and talk about. Some of the stuff doesn't apply, etc. So what I'd like you to do is go down to the Legislative Files tab. And this was something I think just for Darlene and Michael, I think we may have skipped this step for one of the previous approver sessions. But as approvers, you may also go into Legistar and create agenda items potentially. And because of that possibility, we need to make sure that all approvers come in here and set their default department. And the reason is because this department that we put in here, this actually helps the Legistar system automatically pull in and place agenda items where they're supposed to be on the agenda. So if everybody would please go to the default department dropdown and go ahead and put in your department. All right, everything else we're just going to go ahead and leave as is. And because we made a change to the department field, please go up and click save at the top left. When you get back to your desk and you launch Legistar, please go into local settings and confirm that it saved. If it didn't, please change it at your desk. Sometimes it doesn't go save across computers or devices. Sometimes it does, but we want to make sure that it does, so please check. Okay, a couple of other things here for you. Next is the password tab, so please click on the password tab. You have a default password currently. We would like you to change that now. The new password, just make it at least 5 characters. It doesn't have to be upper lowercase, doesn't have to contain special characters. But please take a moment and put in a new password, confirm it, and then click save up at the top left. And I'll kind of sit tight here until Darlene lets me know we're ready to continue.
We had a question. Is this going to be your standard password when you get back to your desk? Yes, it is. Please write it down.
Correct.
You can let Michael Weber know, and he'll be able to reset that for you. Looks like everybody's changed their password. We can move on.
All right. Did I hear a maybe? Okay.
All right, we can move on.
Okay. So just to kind of make sure everybody is clear, this password is for the Legistar program, of course, but it is also the same username or password you will use to log into the public-facing website as well. All right. Let's click on the Out of Office tab. So in Legistar, there's a feature that you can turn on, an out-of-office feature, and there is some description over here that kind of talks about how this works. It's not as sophisticated as Outlook, so we can't put in a time frame or anything like that. It's pretty much coming in and turning it on and turning it off. So if we select the yes circle, it activates the alternate approver dropdown, and you have the ability to select a person to receive agenda items and approve while you're out. Now, by default, when you turned it on, you probably saw auto approve. Pretty scary option there. So I think the recommendation is to select somebody in the list. This does not impact agenda items that are currently assigned to you. This is only going to impact new agenda items that get assigned to you. Ones that are currently assigned to you will not be impacted. All right.
So just to elaborate on what you said, we do not recommend auto approve. We prefer that you put someone in there to be your delegate when you're gone that can approve your agenda items.
So can it be somebody who doesn't already have approval authority? If I'm the only one in my department that approves, can I give it to the person who normally uploads the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so the question was, can you make the alternate approver the coordinator, the person who drafted it? Yes, you absolutely can. You can also, everyone will have a backup, and so you can assign it to your backup. So, just a quick question. I'm just scrolling through the list of names, and like some of them are in department, they're actually not a backup or a code of regional. So I'm not sure the name came from and how to fix that.
Yeah, and that's a good point. A lot of the names in here were entered about a year ago. So we're going to do an audit of accounts and of the approver process, the sequence, and it'll be updated before we go live. Since a lot of people retired.
It's a list of all the approvers you can't filter. So.
Right, so it doesn't filter by department. You'll see all approvers in there. All right, Doug, I think we're ready to move on.
Yeah. Please make sure you select the right person.
Okay. All right, if I could have everybody make sure that the no circle is selected and click save, just to make sure that that's saved. All right, and please remember to come in and set it back to no when you get back in the office. All right, so that's all we're gonna do here. And again, just a reminder, when you get back to your desk, please go to local settings and just confirm the department did save over. If it didn't, please put your department in. All right, clicking on the home button, we can get back to the home screen. Pretty much at this point, it'll just be looking up at the screen as I kind of go through the approver steps, and please have this Legistar approving file agenda items handy, as this is pretty much what I'm going to be going through here. And feel free to take notes on that. Okay, just a couple of comments about the home screen. The home screen, it's really a dashboard, and it is specific to you, the person that's logged in to Legistar. And down at the bottom right corner is your queue. The approval requests section is going to be all of the agenda items that are currently assigned to you for your review and approval. The recent files, that is going to be a section that shows agenda items, files that you have recently looked at, created, edited in some way, basically touched in any way. Those are going to show up here. And the list will grow. And the newer ones will be up top, the older ones will be at the bottom, and eventually some of the older ones will fall off as newer ones are added. Recent agendas and recent minutes. Those are different other modules in the system, and depending on your permissions in the system, you know, you may or may not have access to go into those modules or look at agendas that aren't published or things like that. So everybody is assigned or a part of a user group, and those user groups have permissions, and it really dictates what you can do and not do in the system. And it does vary a little bit as far as everybody's permissions. They may not be exactly the same. Over on the left are the modules in Legistar, files, which is where you're going to primarily live and do all your work and things like that. Agendas and minutes, those are the two modules where staff go in to publish agendas and publish minutes. And then there is a search module here. The search module is primarily for searching the legislation text, if you will. So primarily the content within the Microsoft Word document. All right, back to files, which is where we're really going to be spending most of our time. When you first go into the files module, if you kind of look up here, it says search mode. So going into a module, you're initially in search mode. So you can start filling in fields to specify search criteria. You can also use the fields that are within the tabs. So if I want to search for an attachment that had a specific name, I could type in a name here and click search. So just to kind of reiterate, in Legistar, we cannot search through the content of attachments. That can only be done on the public-facing website. In here, we can only search for the names of attachments, not the content within. And then we have a few other fields here in details as well. So again, main takeaway, searching in the files module, use any field, any combination of fields. It's really an advanced search. It's really, you know, filling out a form almost and hitting the search button. And you'll probably want to be more specific as time goes on, because you're going to have tens of thousands of agenda items in the system. And you're probably going to want to narrow down the searching criteria. All right. Back to the home screen, because that's really the only place I need to go to see items that are currently assigned to me. I can go down to the approval requests area here, and I can just click on an item that I want to take a look at. And I need to click somewhere where there's some text. So if I click here in this white space, it's not going to open anything up. I need to actually click somewhere where there's some text. And it's going to bring me into the details of that specific file or agenda item. And it'll actually bring me to the approval tracking tab. And it does that because the approval tracking tab is ultimately where you need to be in order to approve the item or delegate it to somebody else, things like that. Before you do that, though, you're probably going to want to review some of the information within this agenda item. So up at the top, we have some different fields. The type field is a field that staff will be filling in when they create items. They will be filling in the agenda date, and they potentially might be filling in the in control, depending on the user groups they belong to. That'll dictate what meeting bodies or governing bodies they can create items for. So as approvers, you may or may not be interested in those fields. The item ID, we can't change. The status, we can't change either. We don't want to change the file created date, and final action will be done later in the minutes process. We have a title box here, and very important to note that we do not want to make edits or do anything directly in this field. The content within this field actually needs to be entered or edited through the Microsoft Word template, which is accessed here at the Agenda Report tab. So if I pull up my document here, I talk a little bit about the different fields and things like that. We're going to wind up going through, I guess it kind of says here, click the edit button. I talk a little bit about it here. Here's the edit button. If we click on that, it is going to open up that Microsoft Word template that staff, your coordinators, or whoever filled out when they were creating this agenda item. So again, to make edits to the title, which would be your recommendation, we don't want to do it in the title box. We want to do it through the Microsoft Word document. The main reason is because the published agenda, as well as other reports that are run in Legistar, actually pull the data through and from the Word document. All right. So this is the BCC template. And if you go through the agenda creating, agenda item creating, the drafting training session, you'll learn about this. But within these Word documents, there's an add-ins tab, and there's a templates dropdown. And this is where staff goes to select the appropriate template and fill it out. Since they've already filled in information, this is where we would go to make edits. And based on previous training sessions and talking through kind of some process, it sounds like for the most part that approvers may not be coming into these documents and making the edits. They may actually be, you may be reaching out to the coordinators or staff to make the edits. But you do have editing capabilities. If you come into this Word template here and you make a edit to the recommendation, specifically the recommendation, which is also what populates this title box. So I went ahead and I put a period here. If I make a change to the recommendation and I go ahead and close out of it and confirm my save, I just want to point out for everybody that you're going to wind up receiving a little pop-up message. And the pop-up message is designed to inform you that you made a change to ultimately what impacts this title box here. So when I close that Word document at the bottom right corner of my screen, which is on my other monitor here, there's a light blue rectangle. So as you click edit to open the Word document and as you close it, you will see that light blue rectangle. It's kind of a status box letting you know that Microsoft Word is either going through the process of opening or going through the process of closing. In this example, I was closing it. And once it's ready to close and update the Legistar system, here's the pop-up I get. So again, this is only if you change text in the recommendation. And again, it's just letting you know that you changed something that reflects or impacts the title box. Do you want to continue? I'll say yes. And again, that's important because whatever's in this title box is on the published agenda and is also, you know, can be brought into a variety of different reports in the system. All right, so that's a lot of chit chat there regarding the Word template, but important because that's where the meat of the information is.
Can we quickly review the formatting here?
I was going to, yes.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So the window here is view only. We can't make any edits to the content within this window. It's really just to view it. And as Darlene was going to point out, don't pay much attention to the formatting here. So as you can see, you know, Nancy's name here is actually outside of the box here. When we actually run the report and publish agendas and do all those kinds of things, the formatting is actually correct. Nancy's name is where it needs to be. So kind of disregard the formatting that we see here in this read-only window. All right. So if you're not making edits to the Word document, you may just review the information through the read-only view here. And if it's longer than the window, there will be a scroll bar over here so you can scroll through and see everything. In the document, I have a red line through new, delete, view all the way across. So all of this stuff you can go ahead and disregard. It's not applicable to your process. We can't hide it or get rid of it, so that's why I've got a line through it on the user guide. So it's really just the edit button. All right, important piece. Any questions about the agenda report tab, the clicking edit to open up the Word document, or any of the fields up here before we continue?
No.
Okay. All right. Just kind of working our way across the tabs here. The attachment tab is where staff is loading the supporting documentation. You have editing capabilities here. You can load in new documents. You can delete the existing ones. You can update the existing ones, etc. So I explain a fair amount of that in the document, but let's kind of walk through it a little bit here. In the grid, I can select a document. And if I want to change the name of it, I can come over here to the name field and I can change the name and click update attachment details and it will reflect here in the grid.
We're missing the bottom again, Doug, if you can scroll that up just a little bit. Thank you.
How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. All right. This was the update attachment details button I had clicked on. So again, select attachment, update the text in the name field, click update attachment details. We can also change the order of the attachments. So the name and the order is reflected on the published agenda. And I know there are certain documents that may need to be first, and we can change the order by using these arrows here. So it may or may not be something that you do as you're going through the review and approve process, but good to know you can do it. The documents, if you want to take a look at the content of the document, you can do that in two ways. You can select it in the grid and come down and click launch. That'll open it up, or I can just double click on it in the grid and then it'll open up the document. It is being recommended to staff that they only load in PDFs. However, the system does accept, you know, Microsoft Office documents like Word, Excel, PowerPoint. It does accept images and PDFs and things like that. But the recommendation is to load in PDF documents.
Non-billable PDF documents.
Blackout. All right. Going through the previous trainings, I think it was more or less discussed that most approvers probably won't be modifying the documents, the attachments that are loaded in here. You may likely be emailing or calling the coordinator or the person who created the item and asking them to make updates. And then once they make updates, they would reach back out to you and let you know the updates were completed. And then you could take a look at the revised or updated documents. However, you do have the ability to update. And just so that you're aware, I open up this PDF. If you have Adobe Acrobat Standard or Pro, then you could actually edit the actual PDF document. I could come in here, I'll just put a period. And then if I exit out and confirm the save, the system is actually going to ask me, do I want to save it back into Legistar? So I think the general agreement was that changes would actually be made to the original document, which is outside of Legistar, and then that updated original, that updated document would be loaded into the system here. But you and the coordinators do have the ability to edit and save directly back in. To edit the original document and load in those updates, you could do it a couple different ways. The easiest way to do it would be to, in the grid, select the document that needs updated and come down and click replace. Clicking replace, then you would go ahead and just navigate to wherever that updated original document is, select it, and click open. That will load in the updated document, basically overriding or replacing the document that was already in here. And the nice thing about doing the replace feature is it doesn't change the name. It keeps the name. So now if I double click on it and look at it, it's no longer going to be that calendar. It's going to be that document that I loaded in. So I think that is the preferred way to do it. The other way, you could actually select this and delete it and then load in the updated one. So that kind of allows us to segue into deleting. So you can select in the grid, you can come down and click the remove button. So remove is delete. So if I click that, I'll get a confirmation, and if I click yes, then it'll delete it out of the Legistar database. Then at that point, you could come down and click the attach button and go ahead and again navigate out and attach the updated one. And then in this example, I would definitely want to change the name and then click update attachment details. All right. Delete. So any questions about attachments?
No.
Okay. Details tab. Really the only thing in here that you might be interested in is the internal notes box. This is not where you as an approver would put your notes. There's a different place for you to put your notes, and I'll show you here shortly. But your coordinators or staff may put notes in here. I think through the previous training discussions and kind of talking through process, it doesn't sound like that'll probably happen very often, but it is an option. All right. Some of these other fields will be filled in by other staff when applicable. And just so you know, last edit, it's an audit log, so it keeps track of who's done what to this agenda item, and it documents it. Maybe a little encrypted, but we get the general idea. If you happen to go into the screen, you have to click close at the top right to get out of it. Okay, so that's kind of the process of kind of going through, reviewing the information, things that you guys can do. You basically have full editing rights, pretty much the same as the originator or the coordinator, whoever created it. But you only have those abilities while it's currently assigned to you as the approver. Once you approve it or delegate it, once you take action, then you will no longer have editing capabilities. I didn't put this in the guide, but I'll just make a quick few comments. Minutes history. Every time this goes to a meeting and they take action and staff go into Legistar and do the minutes on this item, it is tracked here in the minutes history tab. So if it's being referred between meeting bodies, all that will be documented here. As coordinators or staff who create items or approvers, you guys don't have any editing capabilities in here. It would just simply be just looking at the information. All right, let's go ahead and get to the things that you can do, which primarily will be approve and delegate, and we'll kind of talk through disapprove as well, but that's kind of a rare option there. All right, approval tracking tab. When we first arrive here, we're actually at the manage approver tab. So the approval tracking tab really has three sub tabs. Manage approver just kind of shows us general information that's in the grid here. Approver action is where you want to go to do your approvals. This is also where your note field is. So notice I can approve, I can disapprove, I can delegate. Extend due date has been disabled. So none of you will be able to extend your due date, and I'll talk about that here in a second. Something to keep in mind, if you come out here and you come down and you say, gosh, all these are grayed out, common mistake sometimes initially in that you have to select your name in the grid. If you have somebody else selected, you won't be able to do any of your actions. Just something to point out there. The grid does have additional columns. I can scroll over and take a look at those. So when you and other approvers come in and approve things or delegate, those actions are recorded, they're time stamped. And also if this goes into escalation, that's time stamped as well. So before we get to the actions, let's actually talk a little bit about escalation. So each of you, if you are an action type of approver, then you're required to come in and, you know, approve or delegate, take some kind of action. And all action types of approvers have a certain amount of business days to come in and complete those tasks. And when it reaches you in the list, you will receive an email letting you know you have an item to review and approve. And there will also be a due date here in the grid. So these are business days. So it does recognize Saturday, Sunday. It does not recognize holidays. Just keep that in mind. So what happens if the due days pass and you haven't come in and approved it or delegated it, et cetera? So the system will go into escalation. And what it does is it looks in your people record in Legistar administration in the back end. So in your people record, there's a field where your Legistar administrators like Darlene and Michael can go in and basically indicate who your backup is. So that is different than the out of office. The out of office is something that you do by going in, turning it on, and selecting someone's name. The escalation process and your permanent backup is something that the Legistar administrators do on the back end. So if you have a backup, an alternate approver designated in the back end in administration, then when this escalates, when the 2 business days pass, looks in your people record, looks to see if you have a backup. And if you do, then the system will actually automatically reassign it to your backup. When that happens, it'll be documented in the grid. Your backup will be plugged in underneath you, and you will no longer have editing capabilities or the ability to approve or do anything to this item. So that is the escalation process when the due days expire. There is one other escalation process that the coordinator or the creator of this item can do. So in this case, it would be Cindy. When Cindy loads this approval sequence and starts it, this escalate button activates for her. So the coordinator or the person who created the item at any time can come and click the escalate button. So they can escalate it prior to the 2 business days expiring. So if all of a sudden you're out of office, you can't approve for some reason, then we don't have to wait until the due date. Cindy could come in, click the escalate button, and then it'll do the same thing. It'll look in your people record, and if you have an alternate backup, then it will reassign it to them at that point. If you don't have an alternate or backup assigned in administration in the back end, then the 2 days pass, 2 business days passing, or Cindy clicking escalate, the system doesn't do anything because it doesn't have anybody to reassign it to. It just stays assigned to you. And every day you will get an email reminder letting you know or reminding you that you have an item to review and approve. All right, deep breath. So that's kind of the escalation processes in the system. You guys have any questions about that?
No, we're good.
Okay. All right. So let's get to the actual actions here. First thing to note, important, is you need to type in your notes before you select an action. Once you select an action, you will then be locked out of making any kind of edits to this item. So you can, again, only make edits while it's currently assigned to you. So please put in your notes before you select an action. So the approve action is pretty straightforward. You approve. Notes are optional. And if you put in notes and click approve, there are no emails that go out to Cindy or anybody else, but your note is saved here in the system. So we had talked a little bit about, it sounds like a majority of the time, potentially the coordinator, the person who created the item like Cindy, might be the one that actually makes the edits. So if you email Cindy or call her and say, hey, please make these edits and then let me know when you're done. Cindy goes in, makes the edits, then she emails or calls you and says, I'm done, go ahead and take a look. You go in and take a look and everything looks great. Before you click approve, I would recommend putting in some notes so that you can document that you had asked Cindy to make some changes. She made the changes and they look good before you click the approve button. Cindy does not have the ability to come into this approval tracking tab and put in any notes in any way. The only place she could possibly put notes is here in the details tab in the internal notes field. That doesn't send an email, and rarely will anybody probably ever come in here and look at that. So just a recommendation. All right. Delegate. Again, put in your note before you delegate. And in the document that I sent you, I kind of have an example in here as far as the delegation goes. So delegating, I've seen it typically used primarily for two reasons. One, you're going to delegate it to somebody else to actually do the approval. So I would put a note in there, you know, Steve, you know, please review and approve it. So when you do that, then you are no longer going to have editing capabilities and Steve isn't going to delegate it back to you. Steve is going to go ahead and do the approval. The other common thing that delegate is used for is to kind of send it back and forth between people so that they can review it and put in their comments and notes. They're ultimately going to delegate it back to you to do the actual approval, but you're delegating it to them to kind of get their feedback. So I have an example in here where if I'm going to delegate it to Steve, I would say, Steve, please review, put in some notes, and then delegate it back to me. So you want to type in those notes prior to the delegation. So I could say, please review, make notes, and delegate back. Put in the note first, come down to the delegate dropdown, and this list is the same as the list as if you were in your out of office in local settings. It shows you every Legistar user who has been identified as an approver or a potential approver or a backup approver, etc. So it isn't actually every user in Legistar, just users who are identified as approvers and so on. So you could find the person, maybe it's another department head or another staff person. I'm actually going to delegate it to myself. Put in my note, select the name. Are you sure you want to delegate? It's good that it asks that, because once you do that, you no longer have editing capabilities. I'll say yes. So now it plugs the person you delegated it to right underneath. And it does document in here the action was delegate, and it puts in a timestamp. The notes column is more of like a flag. If it says yes, then that means the approver put in some notes. If it says no, then that means there are no notes there. So I delegated to myself just so that I could continue to show you the steps here. When you delegate, though, Cindy does get an email. I think some of your email notifications are actually turned off. Michael, you might already know that, but this might be one of the notifications that are currently turned off. But when turned on, Cindy would receive an email letting her know that Granicus Approver delegated it to Granicus Approver. And then the person who it gets delegated to, they get an email letting them know. All right, that's a lot of talking about delegate, but that one's commonly used. We'll talk about disapprove in a second here, but does anybody have any questions about approving or delegating?
No.
All right. Disapprove. So up to this point, a lot of discussion around this, really boils down to process. And I think the general consensus up to this point is this would rarely be used, if ever. But we need to talk through what it means if you disapprove something. So again, first we want to put in notes before we do an action. If you're going to use disapprove, we definitely want you to put in detailed notes as to why you're disapproving it and what you want Cindy to do to make it right. The reason why we don't want to really use disapprove, at least you guys have talked about this, if I come down and click disapprove, it is going to require a note. So if I hadn't typed in a note in here, it actually would not let me disapprove it. Of course, it doesn't know how meaningful the note is, but of course, we want you to put in some good notes. Are you sure you want to disapprove? If I click yes, what happens is the approval sequence gets canceled altogether. The status reverts back eventually to draft. And now it's really just sitting on Cindy's plate again. And Cindy needs to go in, make whatever changes are needed. Then she needs to come in, reload the approval sequence all over again, and start it all over again. And then anybody who's been involved up to that point is going to have to re-review it and re-sign off on it. If I disapprove it, approvers and FYI staff who have been involved or notified up to that point, all of those people, including Cindy, will get an email. It will let them know that I disapproved it and the email will contain your notes. So everybody is, you know, notified and up to speed. And at that point, they should probably expect to see it coming back to them again. So just, I think it was pretty much determined that because the sequence has to start all over again, everybody gets another 2 business days again and things like that. I think it was probably more about time than anything.
So just to elaborate on that, when you disapprove an item, the coordinator would have to go back and start the whole approval process over. Everybody's given 2 days. That's the way the system works. So if you disapprove, it could start the whole thing over, which could take longer and potentially not get your item on the agenda. So that's why we're recommending it'd be easier for you to just reach out to your coordinator. Hey, can you make this 1 or 2 changes? And that'll keep the process going so that it doesn't start all over again. So that's kind of the reasoning and why we don't think you should disapprove.
So in order for that to happen, do you have to delegate it back to them or send it back to them because they put it in there and now it's in your queue and they can't do anything with it?
They'll have the ability to edit whether it's delegated to them or not. Okay. You can delegate to them if you want to have the notes in there, or you can just, if, you know, like I said, walk by their desk and say, hey, fix that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Rather than removing it, can you add it to another piece? Like if I didn't want it on this agenda, on the future agendas, can you just change the agenda date?
Yep.
Yes.
Preferably, you also let Cindy know just in case that if it's between 10 and noon on the cutoff date. Mm-hmm. So right now our cutoff time is 10 o'clock and that's the new cutoff with everything going on. The hopeful plan is when we switch over to this is the cutoff will still be 10 for any new item. So get in an item, even if it's just placeholder so that you can fill it in after the cutoff and get through the sequence. So you'll have 10 to noon on that day, try to get the sequences complete, everyone okay with it. And hopefully the sequence done so we don't have to, on the admin side, go through and close out the sequences so no one can do anything about the item. So the biggest thing with the sequence is everyone making sure it's good and it getting done so the item is locked so no one can edit it from that point on. Unless they're an admin and they should be able to.
Any further questions on that? All right, I think we can move on.
Okay. I did want to make a comment regarding changing the agenda date, and Michael did touch on this. If Cindy had already generated the agenda, it would automatically pull this item in and put it on the agenda, even if it was going through the approvals and things. If you come in and change the agenda date, that already generated agenda does not update real time. So this agenda item will not automatically fall off of that agenda. Cindy would need to basically remove it manually. So you would want to let her know if you are changing the agenda date.
You could also do a quick check, just quick check, blah. You could go quickly and use your item ID number up there in the upper left and go to the agenda view, find that agenda was originally put on, and then see if that agenda has been generated. If it hasn't been, you could try to quickly then go remove it, double check that it still has been generated, and if it hasn't, then it won't show up on it. You guys will be able to view it in the application, the agenda. You won't be able to do anything but viewing them there, but you'll be able to see what's on there and what's coming up. Kind of like you are now with Fire.
So this is what it would look like if Cindy had not generated the agenda. It would be gray and blank.
Now, if it was populated there, you could look through it and see if your file ID was in that agenda. If if it was, then you would need to reach out to her to let her know, hey, we're moving this one to the next one, we can remove it. I know there are some items where they're already planned to be on that agenda, so they end up on it and then they hold them during the meeting, so.
This is what it would look like if an agenda was generated.
And we want all the items to be those green agenda ready. That's our hope.
All right. Yeah, there are a few circumstances where Cindy might delete the entire agenda, regenerate it again. But I think just to keep things simple and as a best practice, if any approvers or even if any coordinators are changing the date, it would probably just be best to notify Cindy and let her know.
And my understanding is at that 10 o'clock cutoff on the cutoff day is that she's gonna, between 10 and noon, gonna be at some point generating that agenda, going through it, reviewing stuff, checking to see what isn't done on the workflow, and either ending that workflow and locking the item, or reaching out to whatever she brings up. So.
Okay. So that is going through the process of reviewing and approving in the Legistar program. So now what we'll do is we'll talk about reviewing and approving items through that public facing website. And I've got some screenshots in the document, and I do talk about going through those steps. The main takeaway is going to be there's very few edits that you can make if you're doing it through the website. You can, you know, of course you can approve it, you can delegate it, you can even disapprove it, you can, you know, mess around with the attachments, but pretty much anything else, like the Microsoft Word template, all the data that's in there, or some of the other fields like the agenda date and things, those are things that we cannot manipulate out here. All right. Open up or arrive to your Insight page. There's a sign-in link at the top right. Something to keep in mind, when something is assigned to you or even delegated to you, you will receive an email letting you know. And within the email, there are some links. Those links actually take you to the public-facing website. They don't take you to Legistar, because Legistar is a program that's installed on your computer, but it does take you to the website. And it'll take you to the sign-in screen. And this is where you need to put in your Legistar username and password. And once you log in, it'll bring you straight to the approval tracking tab. And this is your queue, very similar to the home screen in Legistar. And right from here, I can, if it's really just a formality, I can just click approve and be done with it. Now you can access this on any device that has a browser. So even on a smartphone, anything like that, anything that's got a web browser, you can log in. You can disapprove from here as well. And same concept out here. If you're going to put in notes, you put in your notes prior to selecting your action, and the system will require you to put a note in if you're disapproving. Now, at this point, if you want to look at the supporting documents, if you want to look at that, you know, Word template and things like that, then all I need to do is come over here and click on a link, a file ID link, and then it'll bring me into the details of the agenda item. So what I'm going to do is pull up 1437 here real quick, just so that we can kind of connect the dots here. Running a little slow. Okay. We can see almost all the same information. Requester is going to be the coordinator, the person who created it. There's your file type. There's your agenda date. So again, data we can see, but not data that we can change. We can see the title information, which is going to be the recommendation coming from the template, the title information. And then we have a link here that says download Word document. So the device you're on is going to have to be able to open up Microsoft Word. So if I click on that and open it, it is going to show me what the staff person entered in the template. This is not the template because I don't have access to the add-in tab, and I can see up here it says read only. So out here, we're really just looking at the information. If there's any changes that need to be made, you would want to reach out to the coordinator, whoever the person was that created the item. Pretty much just like you would if you were in Legistar. All right. And here it does say changes made to the Word document, the text file, will not automatically update in Legistar. We recommend making changes directly in Legistar. Please disregard the select button in this field here. All right, moving down to attachments. These are the attachments that staff loaded in the system. And these X's, if you click on an X and confirm, you will actually delete that attachment, that supporting document, out of Legistar. So it's just like you were in Legistar selecting this and clicking remove, same thing. You can click view in order to view the attachment. So that would be the same as being in Legistar and double clicking on it, or clicking launch, same thing. Edit is a little deceiving. If I click on edit, it doesn't actually let me edit the document. All it does is let me edit the name of the document. So that would be the same as if you were in here selecting it, updating the name field and clicking update attachment details. Now you can load in documents, attachments. So add new attachment, I can click select, I can navigate somewhere, load in a document, and it will actually add it to the Legistar database. Here's my notes field. So that notes field is the same as if I was on my approval tracking tab, on my approver action tab, same notes field, operates the same way. And same concept again, type in your note before you select your action. Extend due date has been disabled in Legistar, so you can go ahead and disregard it out here on the website. It's really just, again, the approve, the delegate, and probably rare instances disapprove. Delegate works a little different out here, only in the fact that I have to select delegate as an action before it'll actually activate the dropdown here. Same concept for names. It's only going to show you staff who have been identified in Legistar administration as approvers or potential approvers, etc. The other thing too is submit. So that's your save button. So you type in your note, you select your action, and then you can click submit. A couple of other features out here, view sequence, pretty cool. It basically shows you the approval workflow, where it's been, where it's going. You don't have all the fields and columns, but you have at least kind of the important ones. And then lastly, send email, pretty cool feature. So built into the Insight page is the ability for you to send an email to the coordinator, whoever the person is who created the item. You can also add a CC on that, type in your subject, your information, and then you can go ahead and send that email. Notice that when I get into the details of an item, or let's say I click on the calendar tab, let's say I'm just kind of looking around, notice that the sub tabs disappeared, that approval tracking tab disappeared. In order to get back to that, all you have to do is come up here to the top right and click My Account. So if you ever lose that tab, you can go ahead and click My Account, and that'll bring you back to this tab here. Go ahead and disregard these other sub tabs. Those are for the public, people who create accounts. Because you're Legistar users, security and information and things like that have to be handled through the Legistar administration. I suppose you could come out and create some alerts if you wanted to play around and check it out, but normally you're just focused on this. All right, so that is reviewing and approving through the website, kind of outlined in the document here. And then at the end of the document on step six, I just threw in some additional information about searching via the files module in Legistar here to kind of help you through that process. All right, team, any questions?
No.
All right. Well, that is the approver training. Darlene and Michael, do you have anything to add?
I don't think I have anything to add. Do we have any questions? All right. The one thing we want to have you do when you get back to your desks is to see if you have Legistar installed on your PC. Please open it up, log in. Make sure that you can log in. If it's not on your PC, you might need to reach out to your IT and have them contact Michael Weber to see about getting it installed. If you do have it, you can shoot me an email. If you don't have it, you can shoot me an email. We're going to be doing some parallel agendas in the month of August as a test before we go live, and our go live date is projected for September. So we are going to be asking you to help us with the testing when we do those parallels. We'll be reaching out to you with an updated guide. The draft that you have, there was two guides that were sent. The one that is the general overview you used today, and then there was another one that was a little more detailed that said draft on it. That's one that Michael created that's more specific to Clark County. He's going to be updating that, and you'll get a final one prior to going live. If you are reading through that and you see there's anything that needs to be added or is confusing, please either reach out to me or Michael, and we'll get that updated. If you have any suggestions, we'd love to hear them. I think that's about it, unless you have something else, Michael?
No, the guide I made is probably going to get longer.
So I think that we